for my kids' birthdays. Last year, my eldest had her birthday right on Thanksgiving. Her birthday is the 22nd. Last year, Thanksgiving fell on the 22nd. Oh, you've got the same situation then.
So you're a turkey.
What? Yeah. His sister was. That's funny. When she was growing up, she was terrible because he got this big party with
John Hart. Covered all my costs.
Really? Hey guys, we are going to start this thing. I hope everybody's ready for it.
Hotcakes.
I got to press a start button though.
You got.
You ordered hotcakes?
Well, who?
Pancakes?
Did somebody order pancakes down there?
Are they paid for?
Your pancakes.
I mean, if they're paid for, they might be mine. Woo! Hey, a lot of action over there.
Oh,
I closed the curtain. I didn't close the window. All right, well, all our streams are up. Oh, I guess I got to do one check here to make sure everything's making sense. Oh, there we go. You're right. I came back to Mexico without a cable. My intention was to buy a long cable and bring it back, and I didn't bring it back with me. So now I'm going to buy one on Amazon and have it brought at the end of the month.
What kind of cable?
Just a long HDMI cable. We want one that's like, what do you think, 20 feet or 15 feet?
What was it?
Scott?
HDMI?
At least 20.
HDMI cable?
At least 20, maybe 30.
Yeah, no, I'd love to borrow it. We could at least start playing with it.
Now, the reason I brought it down is I gave a class in our neighborhood about going up to Alaska and by ship or all the different roads and that, and my computer wouldn't talk to the TV, so I said, the hell with it. I bought a 25-foot HMDI cable, which I brought down.
Well, if you could bring that in, at least that would let me test, make sure it would work the way we expect it to, and that it's long enough.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any long ones.
Let me introduce us real quick, since we're starting right now. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson. I'm very happy to see such a full table. Bob, what was the percentage that we've increased over?
120%.
We're 120% bigger than we were at the last meeting. So you got quite a few people here today, which is wonderful. And I'm sorry for anybody that didn't know these meetings were going on, but I will reinforce the thought that I do broadcast this on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you'll find out about it. If you're checking our website, you'll see it there too, including dates for when the first meeting is going to be.
That's where I got your email.
Well, I got an email from Robin. I'm surprised she's not here.
I'm surprised she's not here, too.
They're in Tucson.
Oh, they're in Tucson.
Okay, all right.
Because she sent me an email and asked me when it was starting, and I said, well, we already started.
They had to go to Tucson today.
Oh, it was on What's Up San Carlos for today.
Well, that's great. I didn't put it on What's Up San Carlos. I did put it on Viva San Carlos, though. I put it on the San Carlos board because I got too many people going, hey, well, how come I didn't know it was starting? So I think I've posted it everywhere now. But thank you for showing up and welcome, one and all. So in our typical unorganized fashion, we have no agenda, and there is no particular thing that we're trying to get done today. We're just here to talk about the tech topics of the day, offer help and advice to each other, and hopefully enlighten us all on something new. And in typical form, I've brought some topics of my own, but I'd be very interested in hearing any topics that people have brought. Go ahead, Paul, what do you got?
Well, I've been living in that house of ours since 2007, never had any trouble. Celis's son lives in Lymouth. He comes up supposedly every Sunday, because this one loves plants. So we just couldn't have drought tolerant plants. We had to have plants that needed water mucho.
Okay,
so he skipped a Sunday, he come up, and he said, somebody's been in your house. Mm-hmm. Really?
Really?
Guy come in. First, you know, you're going to find the person who has the keys, which is a real estate agent.
Yes.
Turn out they jimmied the sliding glass door that we had a stick in and a shade down. Got in through there. You could see the damage. Whoever it was very good, I guess. Didn't steal anything. Took a shower. Cooked meal on the stove. Didn't use much electricity. Stayed there part of a week, I guess. One of our neighbors saw him and looked. Keep an eye out for.
Are you saying he's like a vacationer?
Yeah.
He came for the week?
Not an Airbnb.
Maybe.
You didn't know. Did he water your plants?
No, he didn't water the plants.
Some is trying to carpet in the kitchen.
You're going to have to make a deal with him.
Yeah.
No,
but what he did do, I have a full winter cabin.
Cerveza.
But he used my shop.
Scott? Yes.
And he used my electric grill. But he left not wet. Real nice.
I don't have a clue what he's saying.
I'm sorry, Paul. People down here can't hear your story.
Oh, okay. What I'm interested in.
You would say that?
Yes. Okay, I'll use my sergeant's voice.
Uh-oh. Yes, sir.
Okay, so this was broken into. We found out how it happened. Didn't take anything. Didn't touch the liquor. Didn't steal nada. I had the locks replaced. And next week, Celis's son said, "Oh, they're in the house again." You could see where her powder was knocked over and something else was knocked on the floor. Well, it turned out the guy who left the doors open, we had two squirrels at least, maybe three, that were living in the house. And you try to get a squirrel out between the oven and the outside. He got down the insulation because he was running around like crazy. But what my question is, I need a security camera. So, expert.
Security camera. I've got one question. Somewhere in your story, I got confused. Was it the squirrels that were showering and eating in your house?
No. But they were there the second time.
Okay.
The squirrel took a shower?
Drank weird, too. In the kitchen.
Yeah, do you have a recommendation?
I have a similar problem. Some of you that know me know that my house was broken into a couple weeks ago.
Oh, sure.
And it was posted on the Viva board. We understand they got in our house by shutting off the power. We have two refrigerators, and the food out of both the refrigerators had spoiled. It was off that long.
Wow.
And then that way they would come by a couple days later and say, "Must be snowbirds, nobody's home." And at that point, they broke in. It was on the Viva board, probably $20,000 worth of stuff. They were there more than 2 days. They got compressors and stuff, more than you could put in a pickup.
Hmm.
And
wow.
If you, Jim Ellison on Facebook or on Viva board, you'll see all the pictures of what they've done. They came in through a small window, so we think that it was a female and a male. And once they were in, then they were at home. They made coffee. And they ate.
Oh, my God.
It's almost the same story, except yes. They took stuff with them.
They
wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it for myself.
What he's also
they
missing
stole
out
every on. Pair of shoes of hers.
Yeah.
At least 15 pairs of shoes.
Yes.
They took underwear.
They took my underwear, white socks. Definitely black socks.
Oh, my gosh. I heard your story. I didn't know it was your story.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So the long sleeve shirts they took, short sleeves they didn't. Liddy had probably 10 purses. They took the one high-dollar backpack, not a backpack, but a back support for her sore back. Mm. They took that purse. We think it was a female. They took panty liners.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's one of the reasons I'm here today. As you,
yeah. My name's security, Jim, by the way. And I'm Paul, and it's my wife. So.
Yeah. You will not talk. I'm just going to get up.
What?
It would be nice if I looked now for a uninterrupted power source.
Who? Yeah, battery backup or whatever.
What he's also forgetting to mention is he got home. Did some things. I wasn't the next day. Went out to dinner for 1 hour and then broke in again.
Really?
Probably the same.
And where do you live?
I live in the Ranchitos. We live on 3rd and Ian is very
He was a
busy
small
street.
Guy. You could hear him talking to another guy on the camera.
Okay.
Oh, you do have a camera.
We came home Saturday. We got stuck in Tucson. Came home Saturday. My camera was at George's place because I ordered it already and hadn't put it installed. Came in, saw this mess. Okay, we spent Sunday cleaning up. Monday cleaning up. Oh, go get my camera, little Amazon Wise camera. And I just played with it for about 20 minutes. Okay, let's go eat.
Terrible.
So I just plugged it up, set it on the refrigerator, let the hammerheads were gone 1 hour, and that 1 hour they came back in, a small male and a female.
Wow. So is that why you know it's a small male and a female? Is because of the camera you set up like 15 minutes before you walked out the door?
And it's a simple camera because it actually tracks and stuff, but I didn't know how to do that, so I just plugged it up so it was in a pan position all the time.
Okay.
And so the guy, we didn't see the female. We heard her talking because it also records voices.
Oh, wow.
So we heard him talking. And then we saw him go. We showed it to the police. It's not enough definition to identify him, and it would be useless if the police would do nothing about it.
I have a question.
It was Spanish or English?
It was in Spanish.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
So, ladies first.
You first. I'm sorry.
How much damage or do they take?
Probably close to $15,000 to $20,000. Okay. I had a brand new dual fuel compressor or generator. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's enough. Okay. That's enough. Okay. Now, my question to you is: do you have a maid and a gardener?
No, we do not.
Okay, let me tell you, in 27 years, I've never had a problem. I have a maid and a gardener. That really does work. And everybody pretty much knows that.
Well, normally I have two neighbors to watch after me.
Right.
One was in Minnesota, one was in Nogales.
You might think about it, though.
Hey, Bob, the reason we knew the squirrels were in the house.
What did you post that under? I can't find it.
On Facebook.
It says they're out there.
And on Viva Board, it
says they're out there.
They're out there?
It must be on Viva that I read this story.
I'm home.
I'm sure sorry to hear that's happened. I have dogs on my property.
Okay.
So I've never had a real problem.
The reason to be here today is, in fact, my little camera that I have set up now, I can see, and it notifies me if there's intruders.
Yeah.
And I also have another little alarm that we've set up. But my problem is now, so
that's to it.
Prevent them from shutting off the power like they did originally, is a power supply, unlimited power supply.
You know, Paul, you started this discussion wanting a recommendation for a security camera, and if anybody's got one, I'd love to hear it. I don't have a particular camera to recommend. A security camera, a webcam for security. But what might be interesting is there is software out there that's free called IPCam that lets you turn any old cell phone into a webcam.
What is it called?
IPCam.
Really? IP10?
CAM.
CAM.
Oh, so that's what the name of it is. I read that article, but...
So IPCam is what I've been using for almost a year now to run that phone over there to act as a webcam for us. But it's a true video server, IPCam. You're able to access it from a web browser, and you can set it up to do things like act as a security camera. You can set it up for motion detection. You can set it up to DVR what it's captured, and with a power supply and a advantageous point of view, and a cheap PC, you could make your own security system out of it.
This security system is Wise.
Wise is the name.
Wise. It's a very inexpensive, less than $30, Amazon. The camera does follow you. In fact, here's. If Lydia were to walk through the kitchen right now, it would beat me and say, I have an intruder in my house.
So Jim's holding up his phone. He's got a picture of what's happening in the middle of his house right now.
Yeah.
You said W-I-Z-E?
W-I-Z-E.
But you said that the resolution Y-Z-E. Is not real good?
Well, I thought the resolution was... When I originally set it up, I just plugged it up, set it on top of the refrigerator, went to eat. But now that I know more about the camera, you can set it up so it tracks the person. It pans if you want to, and from your phone, you could even blow it up and follow the guy and speak to him.
Oh, you can speak to it too. Like, yes. Get out of my house.
If my wife were to walk by there now, it would notify me.
But that's a better picture than the one we had on the card.
This is a better.
Yeah.
The one
we took originally.
Yeah. Was it dark?
No, it was. I just know how to set the camera up.
Okay.
I just unboxed it. Oh, okay.
But
I miniaturized it, put it on my refrigerator.
But we saw the guy. Little, and he kept running to the window to check and see if anybody was coming because they have mini blinds on there.
Was it a kid?
No, he looked like he was in his late 30s, maybe. Yeah. Late 30s, maybe 40. But he was real small.
One reason, maybe, is what you were looking at with the guy was what's stored on the.
The chip.
Well, actually, yeah.
No, it was in the chip, and then he couldn't read it,
I gave
so he brought
the chip
over.
Because they stole all my computer stuff and my readers.
Oh, God, yeah, that's horrible.
So, yeah, I didn't.
Some of them weren't good, and I had to go through and look for the pictures of them.
So I can't find IP cam.
Is it not available in the App Store?
Oh, it's an app.
It's an app, yes.
Okay. It's an app.
It's an app you install in your device, and it turns your device into a webcam that streams on the Wi-Fi network that you're on, gives it an IP address. When you start the camera, it will give you the address of the camera so you can address it through a web browser. And then through that web browser, you can set up things like make it a DVR and bring it down to the computer you're using. So that's why I say it wouldn't be hard to have some basic PC in the closet that it's just running 24/7, and whenever the motion sensor detects, it records it over to that PC.
And so it doesn't need telephone capability. It just needs internet.
That's right. I mean, if you wanted to view it outside of your house, you'd have to do some real specific.
Some people have old phones that are no longer connected to the.
That's what I like about it is, like, I've got a half a dozen ancient Android phones now in my world, and each one of them can be repurposed as another camera.
Versus $30 for one that fans and does all this.
Yeah, it's $30 for one that.
So that Wise is $30.
$30 for the panning one. $20 for.
I think that's a better solution.
What was the name of the cat?
WYZE.
WYZE. And does that also offer a cloud service?
Yes, for 14 days.
Free.
And
it also has a mini
and you can card, put an SD card in
it. SD card in the camera.
Through Amazon.
W-Y what?
Easy?
Z-E.
Z-E.
It says Wise.
It's Wise, but it's a Y instead of an I.
Wise Cam.
Like Wise Guy, but with a Y instead of an I.
Wise.com.
Yes.
Yeah, it's also on Amazon.
Good.
They, in theory, were announcing an outdoor model in the last few days.
Okay. Well, that's much cheaper than what Ring is offering.
Yeah.
They also have home sensors for, you know, lots of other things that they're trying to get into the home market. The guy who started it is kind of interesting. He did it, I forgot what the reason was, but read his story, because he's trying to do low cost, high functionality, and sell direct with no third parties.
Linda.
Hey,
is that it?
Their new website.
Yes.
They
the one on the left.
Out. Wise Sense Kit.
It says they got them at Walmart. They got them at
mini cameras.
The Wise.
A little bit of mini cameras that are placed around.
Don't they have a Wise
bulb? Do the police really do anything even if you have a picture?
No.
I mean, that's what I'm.
They don't.
It's nice to have a picture, but you know, well, then what do you do?
Well,
post it on social media so that we're all on looking out for the same people and making us all aware of when we've seen them walking down the street, what streets they're working. That seems to be the most successful thing that's happened.
The most successful thing is put a siren.
A siren, yeah.
I'm in the back of the Ranchitos. Very back. And been there for a
minute. Hey, can we have one person talking?
Yes.
Please.
Thank you.
Been back there for 11 years, and they try to break in about twice a year. I put a siren on the house that they can hear it a block away. So if they open the door, the siren scares the hell out of them, and me too. I hit the floor a number of times out of bed. But it's, and you don't have to be connected to anything.
Right.
although I have a security system.
Where did you buy this siren, or what is
Amazon.
It? Amazon, okay.
And I had it connected to my security system, which they wouldn't do it, so I had to do it myself. They didn't want any outside sirens to disturb the neighbors, even though I don't have any neighbors. And so I connected it myself. But the point is, it doesn't have to be on a security system. It's as long if they open your door or your window and one of these alarm sirens go off, they're loud. The guys can hear it blocks away.
But you have to have a security. You have to hook it up to something with sensors.
Any of your sensors.
You need a sensor, yeah.
And you use a computer backup that an APC unit with a battery. So if they cut the power or whatever, this siren's still going to go off.
That's my question. I also have that other. I have that same system for similar. Yeah, that just has an alarm, and it's very, very loud. Any motion alarm, open the door alarm. I just need a backup system.
The alarms are loud in your house. They're not loud outside. So I've had people in the beginning, they'd come in with the alarm in my garage, and they were still screwing around because the alarm's in the garage. You shut the door. Well, the siren you put on the outside. So,
and I've done that also, but my problem is I need power for that.
He says it power.
Battery, yeah,
PC backup.
Yeah.
It's only 12 volt.
No, for his refrigerator.
I need to know how to do that.
Don't forget they turned the power off days in advance.
It doesn't
to figure out if he was home or not. So that's why he's.
So I'm thinking if my power's off for at least 2 days with my battery, APC, or would that drain the battery?
You know what you should have is a system that is a battery backup for your internet connection.
Yes.
And immediately sends you notification that your power is turned off. So the battery backup is smart enough to send a message saying the power has been turned off.
Right.
I don't have a recommendation. I'm sorry. I wish I did.
I do. Well, my neighbor has Cyberco, and it's battery backup, and the power goes off. They notify Cyberco, so they'll check it and see. I don't want to go. I want to go not through Cyberco or Horizon. I want to be notified and have power.
Well, once you have your equipment already in there, it's yours. All that equipment you bought from Cyberco?
Well, you're not getting a message right now the power goes out. Only Cyberco's
right.
Getting it. And that's the point, is he wants to do it himself. So, Irving, I saw you had a suggestion.
Wait a minute. If you do that and you're clear up in Tucson or something, what are you going to do about it?
You don't have any friends down here? I mean, like, I would send a friend over to my house.
And that's what we would do.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, I lost power. I better call my neighbor and say, hey, can you go check? Yeah, no, absolutely. My neighbor around the corner 2 years ago, he got broken into, and he recognized that his power had been turned off, and he sent me over there to see what was going on, and I found it turned off, and I flipped it back on for him. But he knew somebody was screwing around with him, and then later he didn't have somebody that could go and look, and that's exactly what they did. And I wanted to mention this because they stole his security camera. They turned off the power, they waited until the batteries went down, and they stole everything, including the security camera. Yeah.
And that's also. Now, this wise also, you can, I think, have 7 friends notified also at the same time.
Oh, that's a great thing to add to this.
So one of my Mexican friends would say, hey, he's notified, he could see, and then he could call the police. The police are you commissarial here? Everybody, if you reported your burglary or not, it's very well needs to be. And Ricky now has a stack of burglaries. We've had a rash of them in town. Mm. And he keeps going to Wyoming saying, hey, I need help. But the more higher that stack gets, the more ammunition he has to say, hey, we got a problem here and we need help. A lot of people do not report it because it's useless. It costs you money to go to Wyoming and do translations and stuff. So it's, okay, I'm not going to give anything back. I'm told if I go to the Tiangas, hey, there's my generator, unless I have a factura from Mexico, it's a receipt with that serial number stuff and prove it's mine, it belongs to the Tiangas.
You can just buy it.
It's gone. Yeah.
There's a security system from Amazon under $500. Three cameras, and the cameras have a 2-year battery. The lithium.
Oh, the individual cameras have batteries. Okay.
So, yeah. So they're for 3 years, for 2 years. So some people.
I suspect that's a 2-year warranty on the batteries, not necessarily 2-year running period.
No, they said the batteries will last, well, yeah.
But they don't run unless somebody opens the door or the motion detector goes off.
Right. So it would last. But I'm on it the last couple of days.
Can we change the subject?
I don't know. Can we?
I wanted to ask something
for what? Only if you have one.
Yeah, right. A ring.
I just wanted to add something to the subject. I know something about security because I live in New York, where it doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, you're in a high security situation for robbers. So I just want to say, if you can afford it, security systems work. For argument's sake, all of that we've discussed, because of the modernization of the systems, cyber co-addresses. Mm-hmm. So every feature is now available. Pictures, camera, video, notification, and the moment your power is cut, they have a central station. That central station, even if they don't send people out, as long as they notify the proper people or friends or whatever you want, it's worth the money if you can afford it. But the best, I was in an area that is basically equivalent to my business, equivalent to Harlem, one of the worst communities in the United States. And they robbed to my left, and they robbed to my right. This went on year after year. They did not rob me because I had the greatest deterrent to security, a dog.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah.
No, I agree. I've got the same security system. I've got the dogs.
There's nothing better than that. And the reason why is very simple. You're not being robbed by professional thieves. Maybe in Mexico, these guys are drug addicts and all that. Kids and drug addicts, they're afraid of dogs. Professional thieves, we don't have the resources for them to rob us. They're out robbing banks or other things.
In this culture, most Mexicans are scared of strange dogs. So just the fact there's a dog on the premises means that they'll stay away.
Everywhere. Another thing about America, you don't get any satisfaction on housebreaking in America either.
No.
Absolutely none. It shouldn't even bother the cops to waste their time.
You know, this is a really good point. And you know, you don't get much satisfaction on anything. During the summer, I run a bed and breakfast up in Alaska, and I had the first time I fell for a credit card scam. And I had a genuine correspondence with someone through email, which I do all the time with guests that may be coming. And a little unusual, but not, it should be more unusual, but not unusual enough to red flag anything. They just sent me all the payment information through email. Now we never request that. We never want to have inboxes that have people's credit card numbers, and I immediately remove them from inboxes because I think it's dumb to send your credit card number through email. But occasionally people do it. Europeans do it more often than Americans do it. But so I get a copy of this guy's passport. I get the credit cards. It's a big booking. It's like him and his family. They want to stay for 6 days with two rooms. And he sends me stuff that looks very legitimate. The passport shows him as an Army Ranger. And his address is different from what's on his passport. But then you think that's not really unusual. And his phone number's from a different location, but that's not really unusual. And so I didn't red flag it. I just carried on the conversation, the correspondence back and forth. And he verified what he wanted. And because it was a big booking, he wanted to split it across two different credit cards. And he sent me all that information. And it wasn't until later when, I mean, I put off running the reservation. It was going to be way at the end of the season, and I don't like to take credit cards too early. And so I just kind of filed that stuff away. And when I finally got around to confirming the booking, I credited the credit cards, but I didn't run the batch. I don't know if you guys know how a credit card machine works, but many times you're just authorizing to take the credit, but you haven't actually done it. And when you do it, you run it through a batch, and then all the things that you have authorized will go flying into the bank account at the same time. So it kind of sits in the machine waiting for you to run this batch. And the most it's done is verified it was a good credit card, it was worth, it was good for that amount of money, and you have established that you're going to take that money, but you haven't taken it yet. And so I ran it through the credit card machine, and I sent him a confirmation, and I haven't talked to him in maybe 6 weeks. And immediately after I sent him a confirmation, I get an email back going, wait, we've had this big emergency. We can't do it. Our house got broken into. We're not going to be able to make this trip right now. I'm hurt. I'm in the hospital. I'm not in a position to, but I need this. I understand that there's a fee probably associated with canceling like this, but I have to cancel. Please just credit it back to this credit card number. And I didn't even give that a thought. I'm like, well, I guess I gave it I gave it half a thought. I'm like, I wonder which credit card he wants to put this on. And so I looked at the credit card number. I looked at the two he gave me beforehand. And I realized it's a third credit card. It's not one of the two. And that's when red flags started going off in my head. And I'm like, now why would he do that? And
to steal the whole batch.
Just to steal the money from these other two credit cards that he's got and move them over to a credit card that he's got control over. And so I immediately started looking up his information online. And the address he gave me was the biggest red flag because it was a legitimate address for a Walmart in New York. I mean, it totally exists. The address is a completely legitimate address, but it's a Walmart outside of New York. And I'm like, well, that's not a mistake. And I started looking up his name, and immediately after I started looking up his name, I was looking up his name with credit card fraud or hospitality fraud, or I couldn't find anything. But I looked up his name by itself. This is the name off the passport. And immediately got into a discussion group where their whole discussion was this name was used for this kind of fraud. And it occurred to me at that moment, I should be just Googling these names as I'm getting them. I mean, especially if there's any mm-hmm. red flags, I should just be
you should just be Googling those names.
Not at all. And that's the thing that's so frustrating. And it's the reason I bring this up, and it's because of Irving's point that you can't get any satisfaction. Right. If I had lost money, I would be desperate to try and retrieve those funds. The point is, though, they had two stolen credit cards. And they wanted to launder that money into a credit card that they had control over. Because I had not processed the batch, I was able to just roll back the transaction. And so I first started looking at how do I report this, because I want to be a good Samaritan. I want to make sure that things like this are being tracked and being taken care of. And so I went out on the internet to find out how do I report this problem. And you are supposed to report it to your local police and to the FBI. So I start with the local police, and that's just a joke. They've got some form you're supposed to fill out. It's the exact same form that you're supposed to fill out if somebody stole money from you. But it's a different, I mean, as I'm trying to fill out this form, it's not jiving exactly with what's going on because I'm not the victim. I mean, literally, the credit card company's the victim at this point. Because the people they're going to steal the money from, they're going to be reimbursed because it's a credit card company. And the credit card company has billions of dollars to begin with, so they're probably not even going to feel the loss. But they're the only real victim in this scenario, and the form they're having me fill out is really intended for people that have been victimized. And so I'm like, all right, scratch that. I go to the FBI. The FBI has a series of phone numbers. I go, and they have a form, and I look at the form, and it's the same kind of garbage. I'm like, this is a lot of onus on myself when all I'm trying to be is a good Samaritan. So I went ahead and made the phone calls, and I had the exact same experience both with the FBI and with the local police. First with the FBI, I went through a series of voice menus that narrowed down what I was trying to report exactly. I mean, it was, you want to report somebody fraudulently using a credit card at your business. And at that last press one for this, I get, go to our website. There's a form to fill out. I'm like, this is nuts. So I go to the APD again, Anchorage Police Department, and go through the same voicemail until I'm talking to a person, and it's sad to say, I was on hold for a long time with my local police department, waiting for help. Finally get to talk to a real person, and they're like, oh yeah, you gotta do that online with a form. And I told the person on the other end, it's like, you understand that form puts all kind of onus on me. Like all I want to do is tell you about it. I'm not the victim. I'm just aware of this crime. I've got email addresses that are valid. I've got credit card numbers that are absolutely valid. And I would imagine if by tracking a credit card number, you could track down who's doing this, because I've got what they're using as... And they're like, yeah, you can put all that on the form. I'm like, so you understand. I told this to him. You understand that by putting all this onus on me, it's not going to get reported. I don't have time for this. I'm probably just going to hang up and forget all about this. And this woman said, yeah, we know. That's what most people do.
What about if you reported to the credit card companies?
Well, that's...
They might be more interested.
That's interesting. Maybe they would be. But what I was really disappointed with was how it was all on me. And if I had lost money, of course I would go through all those measures. I would expect no satisfaction. Okay. But it was all left on me to deal with.
I have a point here. A number of years ago, Ed Grossman's lawyer found out, and I don't know how he found out, who the crooks were, and they put him in jail. And the rest of the family came out and killed the attorney. And so... If you have a picture,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
if you know all the details. If you're a little wrong, okay. Basically, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, when you have a security system and you have pictures of people, the guy could say, "Hey, I just came in to turn off the alarm. I didn't steal anything."
Just see your word.
And it's your word against him.
He was the HOA president, and the homeowner had the robbery, and he helped him.
Oh wow.
Where area?
And the attorney got shot and killed.
As long as it was
3 days later, when he tried to help the family, he was really the great guy. What happened is they stole basically a TV. Mm-hmm. They caught him. Okay, the family tried to stop the payment. Filing the charges with the police. The police said you had to continue this till it was done. So later on, the other kids in the family called him up, arranged to meet him at Walmart. He's thinking, I'm trying to help get this kid out of jail because they offered to pay and there should be nothing. They kidnapped him, tried ransom through his brother, and killed him.
Wow.
Okay, so Becky...
Those are details I had not heard before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were the only gringos at his wake. And they were so concerned about things, they would not do the wake at the church. When we were notified, it was, when is it? It's immediately. Not even any notice for it.
Wow.
Well, then they left the families.
So much the family technology. Basically out of town. Yes.
Pretty much.
We're still in touch with them.
Sorry. Well, yeah, we are too. We live a lot.
I want to change the subject.
Yes.
Hold on a second, because Linda wanted to contribute something.
Becky went and filled up her gas in Sayurita, have fries. Okay? Within a little while, they had charged over $500 worth of gas in different locations.
Yep.
And so now Capital One did it, but she had to go fill out this whole form for Capital One because they even start, I think they were up to like $5,000. But how they were doing it in Fry's, I don't know. And I don't understand how you can buy gas without a credit card.
How you can buy gas without the physical card?
Correct.
That's interesting.
That's what she was wondering, because it happened in Fry's, and all the charges were from Fry's gas.
They had copies. They had the reader and the machine, probably.
They must.
But you're saying the charges went through Fry's. Like it was as though they had bought Fry's gas.
Correct.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Correct. And she's got the whole list, so they must have had that thing on the...
What you're trying to say is absolutely correct. If they're sophisticated enough, they can actually create, they can generate a card.
Costco put a security tab
in. These are all computer problems.
So that you can be very cautious checking the gas pump. That's what I would say. Whenever you use a credit card.
Yeah.
The best solution I've heard is the dog. I think that's the best one. My question is, when we're gone up to Alaska or California, who's going to come and take care of them?
You're the gardener and the maid.
The solution is, if you have a friend with a big dog, you borrow some of the dog's droppings and put them in your yard.
Oh,
I like also, this camera that Jim had. As soon as he told me you could talk back to him, I'm like, I'd have a recording of a dog.
Well, they do have a system where you, if you have a doormat, you have a pressure switch. When you step on that doormat, the recording of the dog goes off in your house.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I do believe that the majority of the crimes we're dealing with in town are of this caliber. If you just had a dog, if you just had bars everywhere, I mean, if it's just harder to get in, they go on to another house.
I just tell people that I have a Perro Bravo, don't touch the car, and they employ there. All the workers are afraid of Leon, so it's a good thing.
All right, Bob, change our topic for us.
Okay, I have Hotmail, and we had a guy come in, and he changed the password, and I didn't write it down, and I do not have Hotmail. Probably have about 4,000 entries in Hotmail right now.
But you can't go through the forgot password function?
I'm not sure exactly how to do that. It said go to a Hotmail app, and... that could walk you through recovering your password. So what's your solution?
If you go to hotmail.com as a web browser and just hit the forgot password, it should start walking you through how to recover your password.
You don't have it written down like I've told you? Phone book?
LastPass. I'm a big believer in LastPass.
I have it, but this is always
RoboForm. Actually, I have something else about computers.
A phone book works the best.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, I'm a computer subject.
Okay.
Okay. About this time last year, I got back from Alaska. I get this email. Somebody had one of my old passwords. I said, oh, okay, what is this? He said, dear Mr. Warren, we wish to inform you that you were doing things in front of your computer that you're not supposed to do. You don't send us $800 we're going to put it all over everything.
Cool.
So I copied the whole thing. I did send it to the FBI. And I said, I told the FBI, I said, I wish them luck.
I would have asked for copies. He'd be like, I want to see.
Anyway, they keep sending
prove it to me.
And I just delete it.
Yeah,
I got that email and I just deleted it.
Go ahead.
Send the pictures.
Where are you going? We didn't say Bitcoin?
Not yet.
You're talking about the ransomware stuff? Yeah, where they're encrypting it?
No, and I don't even want to talk about it.
Bob.
Hey, Judy, you can't leave yet.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Oh, no.
Cannot leave because I've got a couple of PSAs that have to go out for Mac people.
Okay.
There should be 13.2 out.
No, yeah, it isn't.
It isn't?
Not yet.
I thought I read that it was out.
It's
a
beta.
Okay, well, what I would say is as soon as it's out, you're still waiting.
The one that I'm really more concerned about is all old Apple equipment, anything that's iPhone 5 or older. This includes iPads, iPods. If you are not up to iOS 10.3.4 or 9.3.6, now these are devices that cannot have the latest, but this is the latest they should have. They should have, if they support iOS 10, they should have 10.3.4. If they can only have up to 9, they should have 9.3.6. If you're not up to that maximum upgrade level, you may lose internet access.
13.2.
So you've been updated automatically.
No, I have not.
Yes,
no, I haven't. This is an update.
Oh, that's an update you haven't installed yet. So don't install that yet. Let's talk about it next week.
See, auto updates off.
Good. Keep your auto off updates off.
13.2, that's new because I just checked earlier.
I thought it was out. I thought I read that it was out. So it's so new that we don't know if it's a good idea to apply yet.
I'll wait.
The real question with the new devices, or the semi-new device, if you just bought an iPhone, you have no choice.
Right.
But if you've got an iPhone 6 through an iPhone 10, you may still be running iOS 12. And right now the advice is to stay there until, because every release of iOS 13 has had a problem with it, and it's been a security problem.
So 13.2 is okay.
No.
No.
Not yet.
13.2, we need to wait at least another week to hear what happens.
A friend of mine did the update and has
that would be your old devices.
And that's okay.
That is what you need. And the reason you need to be completely up to date with your old devices is by the 3rd of this month, you will lose internet access if you're not up to date. They have changed, there's a security issue with encryption. And after November 3rd, if you will not be able to automatically update it, you will lose your access to the internet. And the only way to get those devices back on the internet for a normal person is to bring them to somebody like me and go through some ridiculous flashing using a computer and a cable to get the latest operating system on.
That's a really important question. Your skull cap, Jewish skull cap, is that a crab on the top?
It's not Jewish, and it has nothing to do with this PSA.
So if I'm thinking of using my old SE phone.
Yeah, your SE phone is fine.
Okay, so I don't have to worry about it.
Your SE phone, I think, is eligible for 13.
Okay.
And so you should be leaving it on 12.
I don't use it, but I was thinking maybe I would turn it into one of those.
Anything after iPhone 5S,
okay.
iPhone 5S and higher, you're waiting to upgrade to 13.
Okay.
Anything iPhone 5 and lower should be at one of these points.
Where do you go on an iPad to get the information on what is actually
there?
Can you
tell what this is? Software.
I can't read it. It's
yeah.
It tells you what.
So you should be waiting to put iOS 13 on it.
Okay.
You should be waiting. It should have an update waiting for you.
How long do we wait?
Until we've got... Yeah, until I say it's okay. It's the old devices. If you got anything over an iPhone 5, I'm telling you to wait to do the upgrades. If you got anything, an iPhone 5 or older, then you need to make sure it's completely up to date.
How many iPad users are in this room?
Several.
That's
important.
Two?
What?
Three?
Four?
Gary, did you give...
Four?
Gary, you still have your iPad?
Yes.
I have it, but I still haven't used
five.
It.
Yeah, five.
Four.
Hey, Bob, I think I know how to get your password off of Google.
So,
accounts.google, you can pick your passwords up off of.
Accounts.google? For Hotmail?
Well, your password.
It has all your passwords that you've put in there.
Yeah. I've been doing
well, if you've saved it, yeah, if you've told your web browser to save the password, then that's a place where you could get it. But if your web browser has the password saved in, then he'd be able to get into it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Now, my computer was kidnapped with a flashing red sign and two boxes. And I made a screenshot of it.
Okay.
Saved that. And then I got rid of it through Control-Alt-Delete and the task manager. And then I called, and it said that Microsoft, for some reason, Microsoft had frozen this Windows. So I called them. Went through their automatic phone until I got to talk to a person.
Okay, so these are all the
told them all the information that they gave me.
When you say kidnapped, what do you mean? Stolen or
no? Where
ransomware.
The screen, ransomware. Where the screen is frozen, you cannot.
Hey, I got one more. You can't leave.
I just did a mini lesson.
Ooh. And I learned.
Thank you for the help. I got one more. Where is it? I've been waiting for this one.
Oh boy!
The world's first poop database needs your help.
Oh yeah!
Did you read about this?
1, 2, 3, everybody poop.
So there is this big study going on right now, and they want you to send copies of your poop.
Copies?
Pictures. Not well. Yeah, not the actual poop, but they want you to take selfies of your feces. Not these kinds of
no portraits. People keep calling portraits selfies.
No, there is a study going on. It's going to be one of the biggest databases of pictures of poop that exist on the internet, and they are encouraging you guys to take pictures of your poop in the bowl and send it off. It will be anonymized data, so people will not be able to associate you with your poop.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
The point is that they've created this database that doctors will be able to learn just from. Well, the point is that they are teaching AI that can identify different health concerns just from the way poop looks.
Oh, so they don't want the ones you're proudest of. They want
the ones you're proudest of. That's awesome.
That sounds like a lot.
But I mean,
that's what I thought too.
The unusual ones.
But one of the best things about this is the button that you hit on the website is the hashtag give a shit button.
I love that.
So let me see where I web address here. Let me bring it up.
Do they have an album?
Oh, you wanna go through an album of poop selfies? They say here poops can fall into 7 categories.
No pun intended.
They started the AI by using Play-Doh to determine the different. Yeah, they would make the different styles poops that they were teaching the AI, but they finally decided they needed pictures of real poop. I think this is a great topic. Where is the?
Oh, thank you.
Where is the website? It's right here. That's right. The idea is that you could take a picture, send it off to the AI, and it could give you information about your health.
But I think you ought to go back to the Amazon deal that you talked about dating. We got some eggs that were bad. We got 18 of them at Lay's.
Are you saying that would explain?
You mentioned that last meeting.
And that would explain why your poop picture looks the way it does? Is because of the bad eggs?
Nothing to do with it. It has to do with Amazon's not declaring the date or having stuff on the shelf too long.
Don't you float your eggs anyway?
Yep. That was very interesting last week.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob, for the promo for last week's podcast and video. You can hear us talk about how Amazon has been sending out whether...
Past dated.
Yeah, expired products.
Out of date.
Well, do you all know why Mexican eggs are not refrigerated?
I found it.
In the States?
Yes.
Because in the States, the eggs are washed. Once you wash them, you have to refrigerate them.
Yep.
And they don't wash them in Mexico.
Well, and actually, the United States is one of the few countries in the world that do that.
They have
bloom
on them. Yeah.
You don't wash eggs. You never wash eggs.
Well, in the States, they do.
In the States, they do.
We were in the chicken business. We had 10,000 chickens. We never washed an egg.
No. Yeah.
What you did is you have a special machine. Now, this is what we did a long time ago. What they do today, I don't know. But you sand everything off.
Oh, really?
But it's a good idea because... The eggs aren't washed. I always tell people, you wash the egg before you cook it.
That's that. When I get eggs down, that's what I do all the time. I wash eggs before I crack them because things fall off.
They have them in a tumble mill. That's why you guys all get sick.
It's a special machine. They do tumble.
I float mine before I crack them. Actually,
yeah.
You know, in
they float, they're bad.
Without knowing the context you're talking about, that could be taken.
Whether they're edible
they
or not.
All right, back to poop for a second. I found the site.
But that's what you were washing off your egg.
Seed.com/poop.
Seed.
Seed. Huh. Seed. SEED.com/poop is where you go to, and you have to use your phone.
So they're tracking you through your phone.
Through your poop. Yeah, that's right.
Huh.
And they say you can't do this with a laptop because you'll drop it in the toilet if you're not careful. The phone is a much more appropriate way to do this. Hit the big purple button that says give a shit, and that will set you up to send them a selfie of your poop.
I think you're infatuated with something.
Okay, now I am leaving.
All right.
On that
note. No, I just think it's appropriate since many of us feel like computers are full of crap. Anyway, this is literally crap filling your computers.
Your girls are much older than that now.
Than what?
Babies.
Yeah, they're not babies. my kids are at that I'll talk back to you no matter what you say age.
And they roll their eyes open.
Yeah, that's right. They're in a constant roll your eyes
shotgun
mode.
Shotgun age? Is that what you're saying?
Not yet. One of them's almost though.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, those were two of my topics I thought you got, and I'll put a link to this story by The Verge because it is a lot of fun to read.
Well, pretty soon your girls won't want to be seen with you.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten to that point either.
Not yet. My girls will be turning this year.
Oh, Dad.
My girls will be 12 and 14 this year. By the end of November.
I'm surprised the 14-year-old hasn't gotten to that.
Yeah. She's almost there.
Yeah, what happened to 13?
She's almost there. Well, she's spent most of her time being frustrated with her mom, so I kind of... Uh-huh. Take a big back seat. I don't have the focus of her frustration.
Well, you tell a 13-year-old, how old were you 5 years ago? And they say, do the math. And, oh, I was 8. And you learned a lot in those 5 years, didn't you? And they say, yes. Just think how much you're going to learn in the next 5 years. You do not know everything. Yeah.
Well, what is that old adage that it's... When I was 18, my father knew nothing,
yeah.
And it was amazing when I was 21 how much he'd learned in 3 years.
Yeah. Maybe you say it's how a teenager will be, still know everything.
Have we got more topics? You know, some of the things that are interesting, Apple TV Plus will start November 1st. If you've bought a new Apple device within the last few months, you automatically have free access to it for a year. Otherwise, it's a $4.99 subscription service. I imagine will be available outside of the United States since they have no catalog of content that they need to copyright. Essentially, everything they put on their platform is their content, so they don't have to buy the rights. No HBO, no, and that's actually the side of this that people have got. They're kind of shaking their head. They've got 5 shows. That's what they're offering. 5 shows. Who knows? Maybe when they flip the switch on, we're going to find a lot more. But they've been promoing 5 shows, and they say there's more to come immediately afterwards. Like within 3 months, there'll be more shows on the service. They have no interest in content that already exists. They're only interested in new, fresh content that they've created themselves. I'll put a link to the article I was reading, but basically they have $250 billion in cash. Can you believe a company has $250 billion in cash?
In your back pocket.
Yeah. I mean, that's out of circulation. That's in the petty cash box. They've got $250 billion, and they're just kind of throwing a billion at this project just to see what happens. This is what drives me crazy about where we are with technology right now, is these companies that have so much money, they can take a bad idea and keep throwing money at it until it wipes out all the good ideas, and then we're left with just the bad idea.
Well, it's a good tax write-off.
Well, look how much they charge for a phone.
When they lose
right?
money.
They should be given content for free. If you're spending $1,000 on a device, as long as the device works, I want all the content for free.
You know, there's a new system I discovered last year called Airborne Wireless. I've got my stockbroker keeping an eye on it. So far, it's having a hard time. What they were talking about is putting repeaters, I guess you would call them, in airplanes, crisscross the United States, which means internet all over.
So you're saying that the airplanes that are running across the United States
would carry
internet for the people below?
Repeaters, I'm not sure
right.
of the process, but yes. They're not doing very well, but it's worth keeping an eye on. They're still working back in Washington. It seems that their opponents like AT&T and all these other companies are making it difficult for them. But if they ever get out of the box or it ever works, it'd really be something.
Well, this is interesting because we are at a moment in time with technology that handoff, really,
yes.
the handoff is the big deal, and we've kind of come over that hurdle now. So handing off your connection to another repeater that's
yes.
flying by
yes.
is reasonable to imagine. Again, rural areas that don't get flown over very often probably wouldn't work very well, but places like L.A., New York,
oh, yeah.
where there's air traffic constantly.
Well, they show
who
a map.
Who would get paid?
AT&T.
Probably. They show a picture of
Maybe.
Average airplanes in the sky over the United States at any time during the day, and it's astronomical.
That brings up 5G and 4G. That would be an interesting subject because there's a lot right now being talked about 5G and 4G. What was the name of this?
Airborne Wireless.
Yeah, we should look it up. And
well, last I heard, their stocks were 0.0000.
Buy.
Sounds
now,
cheap
now
to get in.
Buy, right?
Pardon?
Now you want to buy.
Yes, absolutely. But if they ever move positive, then I will.
Oh,
no, but it'll
is
be
that
too late.
By Motley Fool on your news?
Motley Fool?
Yeah. They always have these ads, the next Amazon.
Oh.
And then they want you to, you know, pay to add.
To find out what it is.
So yeah. I have a question for you a year on or 2 years on.
Yeah, okay.
How's your Bitcoin doing? Are you accepting it in your
no.
breakfast?
Nope.
Why?
You've never done anything with Bitcoin. Never happened.
You were a stronger proponent of it a couple of years ago.
Well, I mean, I still think it's happening. I mean, there's Bitcoin. In fact, earlier, Irving, we were talking about how the IRS were able to bust one of the biggest child pornography websites on the dark net simply from tracking Bitcoin, which is...
Bitcoin.
Well, which is a good example of how...
Time to go.
How Bitcoin, what we've said in the past is it's not anonymous. It's complicated, but it's absolutely not anonymous. Every transaction is recorded in that immutable journal.
So it's not the future in your mind anymore, or it is?
Oh, it's definitely the future. It's absolutely the future. What we use for our individual transactions may not be Bitcoin, but Bitcoin itself will definitely be there. We may be using something else as like a go-between.
We'll see.
No, it's definitely the future. But what was very impressive about it, it's the first time I ever felt good about the IRS, is they were able to bring down this child prostitution ring. They were able to bring evidence into 23 different countries. They were able to bring... legal cases in over 1,000 different places, and it was all because they're experts at following money, and they have a whole division to tracking the Bitcoin ledger.
This is the same thing as security. You get all this information, and there are some countries that consider that child pornography is not a crime, and so they're not going to cooperate.
It doesn't matter. The purchase of these services
is what has it, what has made it possible to track these crimes.
Okay, so you can
and
you
the
can
purchase was done in Bitcoin because they thought they could be anonymous. And my point is, they can't be anonymous. We have a division of the United States government that are experts at tracking money, and now they are the world experts at tracking Bitcoin. Well, I'm not an IRS expert, but what I would say is that IRS are after the money. So wherever you have money, they're going to have experts in finding the money. I mean, this is a good thing. This is it's an interesting shift in the way we view our government. The IRS, you normally think of them as, ugh, they're going to be pestering me for money that they think I owe them. But what they've got is a whole division that is all about tracking these cryptocurrencies, which, like we've said before, they are not anonymous. They are absolutely, the whole point of them is they're not anonymous. It's just complicated. Only the complication has made it anonymous.
Well, I think they're not good. Anonymous because...
Go ahead. I think just opposite view. It's doomed.
You think it's doomed?
No,
that's my opinion.
No.
I think centralized currency is doomed, and I think this is another way to prove that we don't need a centralized governing authority over money for governments like the United States to recognize that you have money and that you owe taxes and it needs to be paid.
That may be accurate, but that doesn't address the fact that cryptocurrency is infinite. And as long as it's infinite, it can be made out of anything. It can't withstand. It's got to be a set value.
But it's not infinite. It's inherently not infinite.
Are they still mining it?
Until they've got something like 120,000 bitcoins, and then after that, it's stuck. It can't, because it's a finite resource. It's intentionally engineered.
There's thousands of different cryptocurrencies now.
But you place value in a cryptocurrency the same way you place value in a centralized monetary system. That's right. And so you're in the past, you would pick the dollar because you had so much faith in the United States government. Because you have so much faith in our culture and the way value works in our culture, the rest of the world would base all their currencies on the United States dollar. And so you had faith that dollar was worth something. But if you get if you've got enough people that have faith in a decentralized money system, and what this story does, is it puts more faith into that cryptocurrency because they can be tracked. It makes it more stable. I think it's far from doomed.
Well, AT&T is taking it now.
Bitcoin. Oh, that's interesting.
I'll tell you my story, okay? Guys, you guys know I have the little television, and they're only taking Bitcoin now. And it's very difficult. In Mexico, they have this BITSO. Okay, I started out with the BITSO. They weren't asking for any information. Then the next time I bought it, they started asking me for information. They wanted my passport. They wanted and all these bitcoins. They want your passport. They want your license. They want your social security number. They want your picture. And so I didn't buy from them because after the first time, they didn't accept any of my ID. So I emailed the guys at the...
Now, none of that is Bitcoin. All of that is the people you're working with.
No, that's Bitcoin.
No, that's the interface. But you can easily deal with Bitcoin without providing any of that information.
Only a few. Because we've had total discussions on the IPTV website. A few, and people are questioning.
Well, that's the distinction I want to make, is that the people you're dealing with to pay are the ones insisting on this.
No.
Then it's the system that they're telling you to use.
You can use any Bitcoin. Anyway, I emailed them, and I told them what was going on, because I tried two or three of these Bitcoin people. Okay, so they gave me a company called Local Bitcoins, which is in Europe someplace. I think Sweden or Europe or someplace. It's called Local Bitcoins. That I haven't had any problem with, but there's tons of security involved. When you first sign in, you have to, well, when you first sign up, they give you a whole paper you print off, and you get codes. And each time you sign in, you have to use the code. Then when you, after you sign in and you go to do the money, you have to do the next code.
But Linda, you realize that all that stuff is this middleman sitting between you and Bitcoin.
Right.
It's these services that have insisted on that information and have insisted on that security. You realize that you could go download Bitcoin wallet for yourself, get a number, and start using it. You don't have to go through a service provider. You don't have to. You don't have to provide any.
But if I'm not getting the money, I'm trading the money. You can pay
right.
with the Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not doing it yourself. Then you're going to somebody that you're getting. Okay, for instance.
Well, if you're trading Bitcoin with somebody, they may be insisting you use one of these Bitcoin houses.
No, they don't insist.
Well, then there's no.
You can go to all kinds of them, and then you can get. Now they have the Bitcoin ATM machines.
Yeah.
Where you go with
again, phone. Another middleman that's keeping right. track of your information.
Right.
And that's the reason that people have felt like Bitcoin is anonymous is because you can just download a Bitcoin wallet and start.
But it's not anonymous at all.
But what you're talking about isn't the reason it's not anonymous. It's not anonymous because every transaction is tracked. This information that you're providing to this middleman because they're insisting on that kind of security to do a Bitcoin relationship with you.
Right.
But Bitcoin itself, you don't have to provide any of that information. No, you don't. That's what I'm saying. You do not have to. It is a program you can download. I've had it set up myself.
Okay.
There's no reason to associate a name, an address, a social security. None of that stuff is required to have a Bitcoin wallet that you can start interacting with.
If you're putting the money in. If you're buying Bitcoins to pay somebody else. Two different Bitcoin thing going on, you know. There's a Bitcoin.
Well, I could hand cash to my friend and he could give me a Bitcoin.
Right.
I don't have to have a name in there or an address or a phone number, anything.
Okay, but most of them do. Almost all of them.
But again, what you're describing is a third party that's become a middleman between the between you and the Bitcoin transaction.
In order to pay like a bill, like you want to pay AT&T with Bitcoin, you're getting Bitcoins from somebody to pay that bill.
But it depends on how the person that's receiving Bitcoin has chosen to receive it.
Well, you tell me the company that you're using because there is.
No, I'm saying you don't need a company. When you introduce companies.
Where are you getting the Bitcoin from without going through somebody?
Well, like I said, the example I made is I could hand my friend cash and he could hand me a Bitcoin.
Yeah, but when you want money, you go to the bank, they hand you money. You hand them your proof, hand you money.
Right.
Who do you hand it to?
Well, you find somebody to give it to that will give you. I mean, you're dealing with these exchanges that are.
Okay. Well, Local Bitcoins. I'm just dealing with people that are doing it.
Like you said, you could put money in an OXXO. OXXO's
paying somebody.
Right. You give it to OXXO. Did they ask for your personal information when you gave it to OXXO?
Yes.
Or did they ask for your Bitcoin wallet?
After I used it once, nope. I had to provide my passport, my money,
to OXXO.
Yes.
OXXO asked for your passport.
Yes. I had to provide it right over here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that must be a Mexican government thing.
So I'm doing another thing now instead. I'm doing this Local Bitcoins.
Because again, the OXXO is a third party middleman in between the transaction.
Maybe the IRS is demanding all the middlemen to start using.
It could very well be that's what's going on.
So I'm using Local Bitcoins, and I go.
It doesn't stop me from giving you a Bitcoin, but it would stop middlemen from providing those services unless they were.
Do they look nice? Are they pretty?
They're virtual.
Pay with Bitcoin. So I'm going to Local Bitcoins, and then you go on there and you put the U.S. or you put Mexico. And you can put all credit cards. You can put
sure,
ones that only take cash. The ones that take cash at OXXO, you have to give OXXO passport, ID, everything.
Okay.
So now I'm using Bitcoins that I get the Bitcoin through Bankomer.
Thank you.
So I transfer the money from Bankomer to another account, and then the Bitcoin is put into my account. And then I have a paper from the IPTV people that you print off, and it's got the Bitcoin thing and how much the Bitcoin, how much your bill is. So, for instance, I'm buying 10 subscriptions to Bitcoin. They give me, I go in, I sign up for 10 subscriptions, I get a paper with the codes, and then after that, the Bitcoins go in my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Then I send them out to the company. But everyone makes you give ID, all of them.
But again, you're talking about the exchange, not the technology. You're talking about the third-party middleman. You're not talking about...
Cryptocurrency has been around probably at least 5 years.
Say again?
It's been around at least 5 years, cryptocurrency.
Yeah, actually, longer than that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
At least I said.
Yeah, I'm going to say 10 years.
Okay.
At least.
And in lieu of its revolutionary ideas... A lot of the large companies that are dealing with Bitcoin...
Everybody's done with Bitcoin.
Have dropped it. Why have they dropped it? Why isn't it becoming mainstream? Why is it still speculative? Mm-hmm. Why has there been so much fraud attached to it?
I think Linda's experience is an example of how it is going mainstream. That it is.
The dark web is driving on it.
You saw how scared they were about Libre Coin, that they all pulled out of it because they didn't want one entity to have that much power. So Facebook lost all its clout with its cryptocurrency. Right? Because they know it's the future and they're scared of who's going to be in control of it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the commodity market, to be honest with you.
Well, they are. They're intangible commodities.
Exactly. And the commodity market is just vaporware. Listen, I am going to start my own currency. It's going to be Mexican sand of Sonora, only sand. It carries the DNA, and I'm going to set this up. And it's going to, you know, there's only so much sand. I mean, it'll take a while to mine it all. That's what it's about. It's bullshit.
Well, no, the difference, gold would probably be a better, because at some point gold would run out. I don't know how, I mean, sand is pretty abundant.
Right.
But
sand is.
But
the
big difference between sand or gold is that with Bitcoin, they know exactly when it's going to run out. Whereas we're always finding another deposit of gold. You're always going to find some more sand somewhere. Whereas Bitcoin, it's pre-programmed into it when it runs out.
It's vaporware.
Well, there's nothing tangible to touch, if that's what you mean.
All of the 21 million Bitcoins.
Yeah. Irving, I got a better question for you. What about Uber? They're making lots of money, aren't they?
Uber?
You remember our conversation?
But they're losing money.
They lose money all the time. They've never made money.
Uber, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but your position was that they don't. They've never made money.
Well,
they made money 1 year, and it was when they bought a...
But that's not accurate. You're still...
Thank you,
Scott. You're welcome. We'll see you guys next week. Adios, mucho gusto.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Okay.
Hey.
Listen, a guy starts out in his basement,
mm-hmm.
and he starts a business. And in 50 years, he's got businesses all over the world. This is how companies lose money their entire existence while making money. Uber has grown possibly more exponentially than any other company we know of, except for their competition.
Irving, the Uber is the perfect example, just like Amazon, of throwing money at something until it gets so big it takes over and dominates the market. And so we watch these local businesses fall apart. We watch our regulations for taxis and things like that fall apart as they're scrambling to compete with something that's not even making money, but it's surviving simply on venture capital.
People are driving this. They're employing hundreds of thousands or millions of people.
That need health care?
Well, that's different issues.
Well, no, I mean, like...
The reason they're not making money is their growth. They're putting the money into growth, I believe. I didn't read their... Listen, if you can get me their balance sheet, I can read it. Well, I don't know if it's accurate or not. But the fact that a company loses money, like I read an article recently, which I assume to be accurate, I've read it over and over again, that the top 25 companies in the world didn't pay income tax or some sort of tax.
Amazon's looking at a return. They're looking at some $100 million return on their taxes.
That's the way it works.
Well,
for argument's sake, any small business, I was a small business, every time I bought a machine, when the government allowed me to write it off, I took advantage of that when they wanted to accelerate business investment. And I didn't make any money, but I had a machine worth $10,000, $300, $700. I actually had the money in infrastructure. Now, even if the infrastructure is only marketing, it's still costly. So you might be accurate, but if I had a guess, I'd say you're inaccurate that they're not a profitable company.
Okay, well, it's very common knowledge they're not a profitable company.
Well, they're not showing a profit. That doesn't mean they're not. I just explained
that. No, they have a burn rate. They're still burning through venture capital.
They're expanding all over the world.
There's never been a time they've made money.
Okay.
They don't need to.
They are spending other people's money, and they're gobbling up other people's markets.
Where are they getting this money from?
From investors like yourself.
I don't invest.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's what venture capital, you know what venture capital
well,
is. They're getting it from big shots that have lots of money.
The stock market.
And they're waiting. They're waiting for all the small businesses to fall apart.
Is it stock market?
No. No, I think it's private. I think it's all private venture capital that's running Uber right now. I don't think they've IPO'd. Uber, have they IPO'd?
Anybody here investing in Uber?
No.
You know anybody?
I don't know that they're offered.
Yeah, I don't think they've had an IPO. I mean, we can find out.
So they're not the stock market. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe that a company can go from $100 to $100 billion without generating some value. In argument's sakes, if they wanted to sell it today, would some company, bank, or country buy it?
It's probably a tipping point. And if they reach that
tipping point,
then it's saleable.
I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to interrupt
that's
you.
That's what businesses are about. Yeah. You know, in the last 50 years, you know, so I observe it. I've been out of business since I'm 34. So I'm not exactly in the business world, but I got my eye on stuff, you know, interested in a lot of stuff. In the last 50 years, the strategy of very, very smart business people, and it's been followed over and over again, is to start a company for 3 years or 5 years with the total strategy of bringing it public. Mm-hmm. Am I accurate about that?
Or having it bought.
Or selling it or whatever.
Yeah, back in the early 2000s, it was all about getting it bought by Microsoft or Google.
Or getting it on the market. Mm-hmm. And they spend an enormous amount of cash of their own, because they have to make money.
Venture capital,
You can put out an IPO. If you're not showing income, it's like anything else. If you're not showing income, you're not showing value, you're not going to sell it to the market. And so I'm going to go back to Uber. I'm going to investigate it, but I'd be very surprised if they aren't generating lots and lots and lots of money.
Prepare to be surprised.
Well, I will be surprised. I won't be shocked because you're a smart guy. It just doesn't make my business mind. I have a good business mind, even though I'm not.
Well, that's the reason it's hard to wrap your mind around this stuff, because this isn't a good way to do business. It's not. We shouldn't be allowing funnels of cash to go into a bad idea that flouts regulations and shuts down small businesses, and they lose money while doing it until they're the only one in the market. We shouldn't be allowing that.
Usually they go broke and disappear.
But that doesn't happen anymore because if it's an idea they know will make money in the future, people will keep throwing money into it.
It works.
Apple's streaming idea.
Listen, Scott, I have seen this all my life. They build a shopping center, like the one.
Okay, but this is all virtual stuff.
They built a mile.
This is all virtual stuff.
Okay, but listen, It's the same thing. It's money.
Like Uber doesn't buy cars. They don't buy insurance. They need to supplement the amount their drivers get paid. They have no health care for their drivers. They have nothing to pay for.
Listen,
and they're still burning through cash.
That has nothing to do with making money. Whether they pay enough, there's a bottom line. It has nothing to do with the ingredients that make up that bottom line.
I'm saying the way they make business decisions, they can't even cover these basic expenses.
They choose not to. It's that they can't. They don't do it till they're forced to do it. It's
so
been the way since business began.
The connectivity between the customer and the driver. Yeah. That's their expense.
That's right. And the driver takes care of their own insurance. The driver takes care of their own car. The driver takes care of their own health care.
But they've opened up.
Yeah. But what they do is they take whatever money they've got and they keep putting it into growth. So they're creating this model
But they may have created a more efficient system. For argument's sake, it used to be $100,000 to buy a medallion in New York. And I'm going back 30, 40 years ago. 40, 50
Well,
years ago.
But that was a good, solid living. That was health care. That was raising kids. That was a legitimate job. These Uber jobs are side gigs.
But capitalism don't work that way. Capitalism works on making money. They're very pragmatic.
But they're not making money. They're burning money.
Well, that's where you might be right, but
maybe
I doubt
it's cartel money.
They're laundering money. This burn rate. Spend some time thinking about burn rate.
Let's do this right. I'll bet you a cup of coffee. Then.
Okay. All right.
We got a bet?
Yeah, we've got a bet. We've got a bet.
Put your money where your mouth is.
I think if you take anything away from this, it should be the understanding of how finances are working in the digital world and what the idea of burn rate means. It's not making our society better.
You know, I can't express what I want to say because I've lost that ability, which I used to have. That's accurate. But it'll play itself out. And it's all about money. It's always about
money. Yeah, it's definitely all about money.
For a limited amount of time, and that limit might be extensive, but eventually it proves itself out.
Well, Ernie, I hope that we.
Oh, that's a solid bet now.
Yeah, it's a solid bet now.
Oh, no, I don't know squelching involved. I don't care for that.
I appreciate the dialogue. It's a good conversation.
I'll give you my money thing of the day that I learned.
Yeah.
Okay.
You must have a cell phone with you to open an account in Mexico.
An account with what?
The bank.
Really? Oh, you must have a cell phone?
Yeah. Yes. Bank
only will allow can open a account with a cell phone in your presence.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because the bank is only on the cell phone now, you know.
So that's your
the banks. They just can't stop the thievery. They cannot stop it.
Yeah, so what they're doing is part of the setup of your account. Mm-hmm. They must use your cell phone.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean that makes sense though. That's a good
Yeah,
like two factors.
Bank account?
No, next for an extra trip to and from the bank because you forgot your cell phone.
Not from Cibanco, but do you have a bank account at one of the banks?
Sure. Yeah.
Which one?
Well, I'm at Cibanco and I'm at Alaska Credit Union.
Yeah, but Cibanco's not a bank.
They're not a bank.
Cibanco's not a bank.
No,
not a bank.
They're money exchange.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're not a bank.
Not a bank.
No, the number one bank in Mexico is Bancomer.
Interesting. Okay.
On your phone. I am only on my phone.
But I have a bank account at Cibanco.
You think
I have a checking
It's
account.
Not a real bank account.
Now you tell me.
They don't process it directly. Like their minimum fee for no charge is 10 times what the banks are.
Yeah, and the other thing about them, you know, you cannot use their ATM to buy stuff online. You have to present your card.
Oh, you mean they don't have like a Visa, a debit card?
They say it's a Visa?
Yeah.
Debit card?
No.
But it's not.
I don't know about online, but I can definitely use it in an OXXO.
You have to use the card.
Okay.
You cannot buy without it. Because how I found out was I was making my reservations down in Valdivia.
Okay.
And on WhatsApp, I sent in my Cibanco card and everything to take the money out. And he says, twice he said I got it back. So I went over to Cibanco, and he said, no, you have to, only way to use that ATM card that you have is to present it or put it in the machines.
Interesting.
But anyway, I have a bank homer. It's strictly online. But the nice thing about bank homer is...
Now, wait a second. No, no, this is not true.
It
because
true.
When I went to go buy Mexican Prime, they would not let me do it without having a Mexican form of payment. And I used my Cibanco debit card. I did. Because later I went and removed it because I didn't want it in my account.
You cannot use it online.
I was at least able to use it online to get set up with Amazon.
Yep.
Maybe that was enough. Maybe they wouldn't... To set it up. I didn't use it for the purchase, but I did use it for the setup.
And I said, I've got plenty of money in here. And I tried to make reservations online with that, with my card, and they refused it.
I have to qualify my story with I did never used it to make a purchase. I used it to set up my Mexican Prime, and it was accepted as a payment method.
Well, I'm surprised.
And then later, because I didn't want that in my... Because, like, after you're on with Mexican Prime, you can use whatever payment method you want. And I wanted to use my Alaskan credit card. I didn't want to use my Cibanco account. And so I immediately removed it
but
from the account.
You can't pay your electric bill. You can't pay anything with that Cibanco account.
I haven't tried any of that.
I went to Vancomer and I got an account.
They are auto-paying a Telmex for me.
They're auto-paying.
Hours
and hours and hours
getting
it. You cannot use their card.
Your regular credit
card? The electric bill. They don't accept
this
it.
Bank account?
I'm getting this bank account, and I'm not getting rid of my old one.
Anyway, I went to Bancomer, got an account. Now I can pay my electric bill, my water
all right.
bill, everything. Because I had a problem with Cibanco, and they weren't paying my bills. Even though I was signed up.
Well, I had the
up.
Same thing with Banamex. They kept on trying to shut off my electric. They all do that.
I haven't been happy with any bank except my credit union. I'm very happy with my Alaskan That's credit true. Union.
Well, you talk about America. The banks are solid like a rock. All of them. None of them. Now,
well,
some of them don't give you any return, but they're all good.
Well, you can't pay your bills down here with your U.S. credit card.
Yes, you can.
Can't generalize that across history because there are... There are banks that have fallen apart in the United States.
Yeah.
KeyBank.
Oh, yeah, but it's they're reimbursed. They're FDIC if you do your homework.
You know, that's the thing. Going back to the
Only
credit card
to
reporting issue, trying to... I mean, like, there was no victim in the crime, and the credit cards, they've got insurance to back everything up, so there's no system
to. I didn't want to interrupt you during that recourse. Can you imagine being a girl in India?
Right.
And what's going on. You think you're frustrated because you can't report a crime. You'd be raped and become the victim of the law because of it.
Right, right.
And what's going on in India, it's like inhuman. And in about 5 or 10 years, they will be the biggest economy in the world, overshadowing China.
All right, guys, I need to shut this down. We've reached the end of the San Carlos Computer Club.
This hasn't opened on the air, has it?
It has. We're not done yet.
Can't do everything
I've said. That's okay.
I'm a paid actor.
I'm here that's to right.
Pull things up.
Yeah. Irving isn't that. Even his real name.
I don't even have a name.
Well, this is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions here in San Carlos, Sonora, Mexico, finalizing another computer club with the San Carlos Computer Club. If you've enjoyed this and interested in more, you can find us. You can subscribe to us. Just go into iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and search for the San Carlos Computer Club. Or go to our website at sccclub.org. If you're looking for computer assistance anywhere on the Internet, I'd appreciate it if you get a hold of me. You can reach me at scott@internationalcs.net. Our business's website, if you can deduce, it's internationalcs.net. You can look for information there that might help you out. And if you're here local in San Carlos, you can call our office at 226-0209. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15 here at Tequila's. They do a good job. A lot of people show up early. They do breakfast here. They got good food. They got nice people. They got fast Wi-Fi. If you're looking for a place to eat and you're looking for internet connection, come to Tequila's. Until next Tuesday, I hope you guys have a great week. Tech on. Adios.
You missed all the discussion about how our new debit card can't pay for anything.
Pays for gas.
Oh, that's the other thing. I've used it at the gas station without any problem. But really, Linda's point was that you can't use it online.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Which I was...